You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for this sermon is the gospel lesson just read. Last year, I learned about a teaching idea called the structured reading group. A structured reading group is a small group of students who take turns with different roles as they read and discuss assignments. So there is a discussion leader, and as the title suggests, this person is supposed to lead the discussion and make sure that everyone is engaged and on track. Another role is the creative connector. This person is supposed to help everyone to see how some key idea, some thought in the reading connects to other big ideas that they're studying. A third role is the devil's advocate. This person is supposed to cast doubt on the assumptions or poke holes in the arguments or offer alternatives to the conclusions. And a fourth role is the passage master. This person is supposed to select a passage or two, which is very important to the entire reading. Now, if I were in a structured reading group, if the reading were the Gospel of Matthew, if I were the passage master, then I would be sure to choose this text. In fact, if I could only choose one, I would choose this text. And the reason is, this passage is the gospel in a nutshell. This passage summarizes, captures the essence of the gospel according to Saint Matthew. If you get this passage right, you get the gospel right, and you get Jesus right. But if you get this passage wrong, then you'll probably get the gospel wrong, and then you'll miss Jesus. Now, you could take my word for this, and honestly, you probably should, but I won't insist. Jesus is telling a parable. Hear another parable he tells the people there, especially the chief priests and the leaders of the people and the Pharisees. Hear this. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around the whole thing. He dug out a wine press. He built a tower, and he got himself some tenants. And when the time came, he sent some servants to get his share of the fruit. But the tenants beat one servant, killed another, stoned a third. So the landowner, who wants his share of the fruit, sends more servants. But the same thing happens. He wants his fruit, so he sends his son. He reasons, he's my son. They'll respect him. No, they won't. When they see the son coming, they think to themselves, let's kill him. We kill him, we'll probably get his inheritance. All this will be ours. So they take him out of the vineyard and they put him to death. Now at that point, Jesus then asked those who are listening, what do you think that landowner is going to do? He's going to put those bad people to a bad end. And then he'll lease it out to some tenants who will give him his fruit. Then Jesus asks, haven't you ever read the scriptures? Don't you read the Bible? What does it say? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then he makes the point. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you and is going to be given to people who will produce its fruits. Anyone who falls over this stone is going to be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom the stone falls will be utterly crushed. And at that point, the chief priests and the Pharisees understand. They know Jesus is talking about them. And if they had their way, they would have taken him and cast him out. But they feared the crowds who believed that Jesus was a prophet. This is the gospel in a nutshell. The landowner is the God of Israel, and the tenants are the people of Israel, and the servants are the prophets, and the Son is Jesus Christ himself. God put his people in a vineyard and expected them to produce righteous fruits. And he called on the prophets to collect this righteous fruits, but they would not. They met with abuse. They met with threats. Some were killed and some were stoned. Jesus himself believes this. Jesus himself knows this. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. And Matthew implies all this in the genealogy, and he embodies it with John the Baptist, the last of the prophets. What does John preach? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't bother to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, because you see these stones? God can make children of Abraham right out of them. The axe is at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. But what happened to John? Well, like Jesus said, they did what they wanted with him. He was killed. And now comes Jesus with the same message. Repent, for the reign of the heavens is at hand. With the same instruction, produce, bear good fruit. Otherwise, you'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. But what happens to Jesus? Do they listen? Do they hear? Do they repent, believe, obey? The chief priests, the leaders of the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want nothing to do with Jesus. At that moment, they would have laid hands on him and thrown him out, but they needed a few days, and they got their way. Jesus suffered and died on a cross because he was the Son of God, because he came preaching repentance, because he came calling for good fruit, good works. And Israel would not do that. But the stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. God raised Jesus from the dead. That was his doing. This is the day which the Lord has made. And what happened? The kingdom was taken away. It was given to all nations. As the risen Lord Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Make disciples of all nations. Jesus came to save his people, Israel, from their sins. Jesus came and dealt with Israelites. When the Canaanite woman comes to him, hailing him as the son of David, he says, I didn't come for people like you. I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in the end, the kingdom that he announced and the kingdom that he was bringing is for all. And so, in the first case, this gospel is good news for you. For all who have heard, for all who have believed, who all who have repented and been baptized, for all who call on the name of the Lord, for all who seek to do his will and to follow his ways, the kingdom of God is yours. And all the blessings of Almighty God, as the Father, as the loving Father, will be forever yours. This indeed is good news for you. Now, some of you might be wondering, is this really the gospel in a nutshell? There are a few of you probably who think, no. But let me assure you, it is. Now, why? This isn't what you grew up with. It isn't in our hymnals. It isn't in our catechism. It's not in our dogmatics textbook. This kind of thing gets overlooked there. But it is in the Bible. It's not just in the Bible. You read the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, Israel's Messiah, the King of the Jews. The angel says to Joseph, you'll give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people, Israel, from their sins. When he sends out his disciples, don't go to the Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Like I said before with the Canaanite woman, I didn't come for you. But Israel rejected him, and he died. Now, the other people here are, in the first case, the sinners. In the parable Jesus had just told about the two sons, he explains that the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they're going on into the kingdom ahead of you. And that's the way, if you read Matthew's gospel, it goes. If you read the genealogy, of course, you read the men, the fathers. Well, it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the like. But there are four women in that genealogy, too. It's not Sarah. It's not Rebecca. It's not Rachel. Tamar, who played a prostitute. Rahab, who was a prostitute. Ruth, a Moabitess. And someone whose name cannot be written, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Oh, the good news is for people like that, too. Who else is in the line of those women? Oh, the next woman to be mentioned, Mary. Who are the first people to come and worship Jesus? Magi from the East. Who's the first person we read about Jesus healing? A leper, someone unclean. Who does he praise for their faith? Right after that, a centurion. He calls Matthew a tax collector. Oh, you can see, as Matthew tells the story, yes, Jesus came for Israel. But yes, blessing could be, and blessing would be, for all who call on the name of the Lord. The kingdom of God is yours. But don't take it for granted. If the chosen people were expected to produce righteous fruit, then so are you. Be people of holiness. Be people of goodness. Don't overlook those in need, but have compassion. Don't resent those who have success or who prosper, but be glad for them. With people you don't understand, try. With those who anger you, forgive. For those you wrong, just apologize. Don't justify yourself. Be people worthy of the goodness and the grace that has been shown to you from the God of Israel and through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all, who is your Lord and your Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise to sing the hymn.